The portion of scripture for a meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's first letter to the congregation in Thessalonica, chapter 5, beginning with the 16th verse. This is our second lesson for today, this third Sunday of Advent. Dear friends in Christ, a week or so ago, I read an article online about a couple who canceled Christmas. Now, they decided to do this because their children were acting up and fighting and arguing with each other. So they decided to teach their children a lesson by canceling Christmas. And what does it mean that they canceled Christmas? Well, apparently it means that they weren't going to get any Christmas presents this year. No, instead, the money in their budget that they had reserved for Christmas gifts was going to be used to do service projects for others and to buy gifts for those in need. When a reporter asked the children what they learned from this, the oldest responded, "Christmas, it's not about getting what you want, it's about giving." Now there are some who are criticizing the parents, but there are many more who are applauding the parents and praising them for what they did. Praising them and applauding them for showing their children, as they say, the true spirit of Christmas. And that's just it, isn't it? For many people, that is the spirit of Christmas. It's about showing love to others. It's about being nice and kind and taking care of those in need. It's not a bad message. It's a message that this world needs to hear. This egocentric and entitlement and selfish society. Now, they say that Christmas isn't about the gifts you receive, but it's the nice things you do to others. It's about the love you show other people. Now, that's a message that's taught in numerous articles or books or on TV or movies that you see. The Christmas spirit is all about being kind to others. Again, it's not a horrible thing to say. It's what the world does need to hear in some aspect, but it's not the true meaning of Christmas. It's not the true Christmas spirit. And yet we hear it over and over again that Christmas is about being nice to each other. It's about showing love to others. And it sounds good to us. It scratches that work righteous itch that we have in each one of us by nature. It makes us feel good about ourselves. So we may begin to think the same thing, that the true Christmas spirit is how we treat others. We may get so caught up in this secular spirit of Christmas that we may forget the true spirit of Christmas. So today, we see that the true spirit of Christmas is given as a gift, the gift of forgiveness, and it is given by a faithful God. Our text for today is filled with commands. Commands that we are to obey as we wait for the Lord to come. And notice how Paul emphasized how often we are supposed to obey these laws. How often we are supposed to obey these commands. Not at certain times. Not just during the Christmas season. Not just once or whenever we feel like it. But always. Just look at the first three verses. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. At all times, no matter what, we are to obey these commands. 8 commands in verses 16 to 22. 8 things we are always supposed to do as we wait for the Lord. And besides the ones I already mentioned, he goes on and talks about that we are never to reject the Holy Spirit, but we are always to listen to to the Holy Spirit. Do not despise preaching and His Word, but regard it as holy and gladly hear it and learn it. We are to test everything, holding on to the good by and getting rid of that which doesn't correspond to God's Word. I mean, these 8 commands are really straightforward and simple to understand, but there's one big problem. We can't keep them. There is no way that we can keep these commands for one day, let alone always and continually. I mean, just take a look at 2 of these commands. Be joyful always. Are we always joyful? Oh, certainly about some things. But more often than not, we don't have a spirit of joy, but we like to complain. We complain about all sorts of things, about our health or the weather or our jobs or our families or our favorite sports team. It's not a spirit of joy. But we're crabby, complaining because it's as if we care more about the things of this world and less about the joy of forgiveness that is inside each one of us. Or give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, certainly we give thanks in some things, but in many other things we don't give thanks. We give thanks for the good gifts that God gives us, but do we always give thanks for all the food that is set before us, or the house that we have to take care of, or the clothes that are out of style that we have to wear? Let alone do you give thanks for all the troubles and difficulties in your life, or the sicknesses and diseases? Oftentimes we fail to give thanks in all circumstances because we fail to trust in the Lord to provide and to take care of us. No, we don't obey these 8 simple commands just once a day, let alone always, continually, and in all circumstances. So we deserve nothing but wrath and punishment. We deserve to suffer forever for each and every one of our sins. But notice what Paul does. He lists these 8 commands that we are to always follow, and then he gives a prayer or a blessing in verse 23. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's prayer is that our entire being, every single part of us, be sanctified, be made holy, and then to be kept blameless. And notice that we're passive, that we be kept blameless. Now, we can't make ourselves blameless because we're sinners who constantly disobey God's commands. God is the one who makes us blameless. The one who sanctifies us, the one who makes us holy, is the one who keeps us holy. The one who brings us to faith is the one who makes sure that we are kept in the one true faith. He does that by giving us a gift. The gift of the Son of God, wrapped not in Christmas paper, but in cloths. The gift of the perfect life, which this Son of God, Jesus, would give to us on the cross. The gift of the forgiveness of sins, as He washed them away with the blood that He shed on the cross. The gift of eternal life given through His resurrection from the dead. The gift of faith worked by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, which receives the blessings Christ won for us. Christmas is not about what we give, but what God gives to us. That is where the true spirit of Christmas is found, in the joy of forgiveness, in the joy of holiness, knowing that our sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. And to emphasize that we do nothing to be to be made holy and to keep ourselves blameless, and that God does it. Paul includes verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who chose you from the beginning of the world is the one who makes you blameless and holy. The one who chose you, the one who brought you to faith, is the one who will keep you in the one true faith. You can't do it by yourself. So God does it for you. Gives it to you as a gift. And you know he will do it because he is faithful. Now he's faithful because he keeps God's promises, never once going against God's will, never once sinning. But he is also faithful in the sense that he keeps his promises, that he never goes against his word, that he never fails to fulfill what he promises to give you. Simple promises, straightforward promises, like the one Gabriel relayed to Joseph about Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. God gave up his one and only son to suffer and die for you. And the fact that God gave up his son to suffer and die means that more gifts are going to follow from God, including eternal life. As Paul says in Romans, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? It was no small thing what Jesus did to suffer and die and give us his perfect life. It was no small thing for the Holy Spirit to bring you to faith. And if they put all that work into it, if they did all these things for you, you can rest assured that they'll do everything they can to keep you in the one true faith, to make you blameless at the coming of Christ. So Paul then could say to the Philippians, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Moved by this gift of grace and compassion, we strive to obey God's commands. We strive to always show love to him out of love and thanks to what he has done for us. It leads us not to complain, not to look down upon others, but to be joyful always, to give thanks in all circumstances. Always. In all circumstances, not just at certain times of the year, not just leading up till Christmas, but always. Continually, in all circumstances. So the Christmas spirit is really no different than the Christian spirit. It's a spirit of joy. A spirit of forgiveness and happiness. It's a spirit knowing that the faithful God will always keep his promises. So the Christmas spirit, or the Christian spirit, is what Christians have. Different than the Christmas spirit that the world teaches. They say Christmas is all about joy, and Christmas is all about how you treat others and being nice to others. And why do they do so? Well, because it's expected of them, because it's a nice thing to do, because it's Christmas time and you want to show nice things to others, because Santa might leave a lump of coal in your stocking if you're not nice to others. Different than the Christian spirit. The spirit of joy and thankfulness because our sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. Always, in all circumstances, continually, as Paul wrote the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The world, it's a Christmas spirit that the world cannot have and does not have unless we show them the true meaning and the true spirit of Christmas. Not about giving, but it is about getting the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And then they will have the true joy of Christmas. Which leads me to one more point. Notice one more thing, the threefold command that Paul gives. Test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. That doesn't just apply to the church you attend and to those you worship with. No, we want to look at everything we do and see if it corresponds to God's word in every aspect of our lives. Those things that we watch and those things we read, those we hang out with, things we say, those things that we do. See if it matches up with God's word, and if it does, cling to it and hold on to it, and if it doesn't, then we avoid it and get rid of it. Now, this threefold command is really appropriate at this time of year. Test all the Christmas customs that you have in your heart, in your home. And hold fast, hold on to those that focus on Christ. Now that we have to get rid of all secular aspects and thoughts about Christmas, but to hold on and treasure that which is good, that what shows us the true Christmas spirit. Where is your focus? Ask yourself. Is it on getting gifts? Is it on being nice to others and being kind to those in need? Or is it on the gift of a son? The gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation. Do your customs and so on at your Christmas time, does it focus on the worldly Christmas spirit or on the true Christmas spirit? The spirit of joy and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. There really is no such thing as canceling Christmas. Because the joy and spirit of Christmas always dwells inside of our hearts. As we remember the gift of Christ and the gifts of forgiveness of sins and eternal life given to you by your faithful Lord. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.